Dear friends, Bhagavad Gita is our mother who does not want us to remain in bondage and attain to what we truly seek in life, the freedom, the illumination, the liberation, or God realization. These are different ways of understanding that supreme state which we all really are seeking, and attaining which alone our life becomes fulfilled. And so Bhagavad Gita, as a true mother caring for the welfare of the children, is showing us the path to get to that. We have been seeing in this that how the various paths have been described and the different ways in which we can mold our lives to get to that self-realization or illumination. So, in the 8th chapter, we were told how one can think of God and attach to God, and that will help us to get rid of all the other attachments to the things which just come and go. Attaching ourselves to the unchanging reality instead of the changing appearance. That is a challenge, friends. We all understand because of the entanglement in this appearances is so strong. To remove it is not easy, even if it is told, even if it is intellectually understood that I need to free myself from all these entanglements. It is not very easy to practicalize it, and therefore one has to use different techniques to do it. And a great technique that has been described in the 8th chapter is to connect ourselves to God, to bring God in us, and that will then push out all other attachments. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that if one gets the taste of something higher, like he used to give the example of the sugar candy. If you get the taste of sugar candy, then that the jaggery water will not be liked by you. So the world then will not be that much of a bondage if one understands that there is something superior. The life craves for something that is the highest. So, therefore, when we understand and feel that something is superior, then our mind is attached to that thing that is superior. So, therefore, it is told here in the 8th chapter that we, by the grace of God, concluded last Friday that one has to learn how to think of God and see that everything is included in it. If we get God, we get everything. Nothing is left out. And if we do not get God, we get only the shadows, the appearances, not the reality. That is the big difference. And therefore, he says that doing this in life is becoming a yogi. So, he says, do everything in the spirit of yoga. So, he says, yogi paramasthanam upaiti divyam. That was how the 8th chapter was concluded, that yogi attains the highest place, Paramasthanam, and how it is Divyam, full of illumination. There is no ignorance in it. It is a place where we all aspire to reach. Paramam means the highest realization, highest place, and it is full of the divine illumination. That is the metaphoric expression for the wisdom. Light is associated with wisdom. The highest and the best light, therefore, gets associated with the highest wisdom. And after telling this, now in the ninth chapter, Lord is giving that further illumination on this. This ninth chapter is considered very important by many, many commentators to understand the spirit of Vedanta about the pervading aspect of God, the immanental aspect of God. God is in and through everything. All that we see is pervaded with God. And that aspect, while not giving up its transcendental aspect, in the sense that that God who is pervaded in everything is also transcendent God. Not that because that God is pervaded in it, in everything, that God is caught in certain things. It is the pervaded but transcendentally pervaded. This is something that we will have to feel and understand, and ninth chapter gives this. This is titled as Raj Vidya Raj Guhya Yoga. Every chapter of Bhagavad Gita is titled as Yoga because that is the great teaching here. Yoga means implementing the knowledge practically in our day-to-day life. That is the meaning of this term yoga, that what we intellectually learn needs to get converted into a practical experience, must become a real driving force in life. So that is yoga. So this is a yoga giving us that highest wisdom and the most hidden secret, the supreme secret. So Raja Vidya Raja Guhya. So Lord begins here in this chapter. Arjuna doesn't begin. We see some chapters begin with the question of Arjuna. Arjuna heard something in the one chapter, then he starts thinking and asks a question. And then the chapter begins, like we see it happening in the second chapter, third chapter, also fourth chapter doesn't begin like that, but we have some questions coming up in the fourth chapter. Fifth chapter again begins with Arjuna's question. Similarly, the sixth chapter. So, some chapters begin with Arjuna's question. Some, Lord himself feels that more illumination is needed there. So, therefore, even though Arjuna has not explicitly asked any question, he gives this light there. So, it begins. Let us read. श्री भगवान उवाच इदं तु ते गुह्यतमं प्रवक्ष्याम्यन सूयवे ज्ञानं विज्ञानसहितं यज्ञात्वा मोक्षसे शुभात. The blessed Lord said to you who are not cavilling, I shall teach this most sacred knowledge in particular, coupled with realization, knowing which you will be freed from evil. Idam means this. And what does this word this refer to? This means we use this word about something that has been known to us, something that is near, something about which already some explanation has been provided. So that you say this, like this person, means already something about that person has been hinted, indicated, then that word this becomes meaningful. So this knowledge means what has been told to you earlier and what is going to be told later. That is how Shankaracharya explains that what has been told earlier and also what will be told later, that is now being told to you. And how is it? Guhya Tamam means supreme secret. It is hidden. It is not very clear. Why? We have seen this a few times, that because we refuse to see it. And that is how one can preserve the secret most effectively. Don't let people think that it could be there, and therefore it remains secret. If that story that somebody was looking for a letter, a detective was again and again going and trying to find out where this incriminating document has been kept in that house. He knew that it is in that house, and so he again and again raided it, and with minute instruments getting all over, he tried to look for it, didn't find, and ultimately in a resigned way, later on when the matter became irrelevant, he asked that person, where did you hide it? And now you can tell me, where did you hide it? I have been looking for it everywhere. He said, it was right in front on my desk. Because I knew you will not look for that. I know you are a wonderful detective. You will look at every place. Even if I sewed it inside my in my carpet, you will look for it. You will look everywhere under the mattress, here, there. But I knew that the only place that I can hide it would be something that you will not look at, thinking that it is too obvious. So I kept it right front there. You also know that nice story that a man was crossing the Canada border, and those the customs officer there, they had the information that he, every time, he is a smuggler. And every time they used to stop his car and check the car thoroughly, and nothing could be found that he was smuggling. And after many years this went on, the custom officer retired and then suddenly met this person in a cafe and asked, now it is all irrelevant, now you can tell me how you used to bring all that. We always had information that you are smuggling something, but we never could find anything on you. How could you bring all that? He said, well, I was smuggling the cars. So the most obvious, you know, there's nothing in the car, but the car itself was getting smuggled. So therefore it was not found. So this secret that Lord is telling is the supreme secret, but it is very obvious too. Only because we don't want to look into it, it appears like a secret. And if we try to look, it will be very clear. Swami Vivekananda, therefore, in his that lecture, it is the lecture is titled Open Secret. It is a secret but open. that Lord is in front of us everywhere, nothing but Lord. But still, it is not seen. We keep on looking for where God is, because we don't realize that everything in front of us is as such not real. God alone is in the form of all these. So this being the case, it is the supreme secret. Supreme has another idea also associated here, that not only it is the secret that is most deeply hidden, but also because this is of highest value, it is of highest importance. Something that might be hidden deep somewhere, but has no relevance to our life. We don't need it. We don't have any value for that. So we wouldn't care. Let it be hidden. What do I need to do with it? But this is not like that. This is something that is most valuable in our life, that which can make our life really worth living, worth striving for something. Otherwise, it is just a drudgery, just labor, that a journey that goes nowhere. So therefore, he says here that this is the supreme, even from that point of view, that which makes our living meaningful, valuable. So it is important from that point of view. And he says, oh, I am telling you, instead of calling him Arjuna, it is interesting to see, Lord has used many different names for Arjuna. Sometimes he calls him Kaunteya, sometimes referring to son of Kunti. Sometimes Refu calls him Partha, that also means the son of Kunti. Sometimes calls him just Pandava, means the son of Pandu. Sometimes he calls him Bharatarshabha, the great among this clan of Bharata. Sometimes calls him Parantapa. Now here he calls him Anasuyave, Arjuna, the one who is free from that fault of carping or caviling or being jealous. If we are jealous of someone, that makes us unfit to realize this truth. That is the essence. Why Arjuna is being called Anasuyave here? Because that makes you really fit to receive this great wisdom. If we are caviling at each other, if we are jealous of each other, then we will not go for that truth. This becomes ununderstandable us. We may be very bright, intelligent, but if we are having this jealousy towards each other, then our attention will be drawn only to these petty things. Look, he has that nice shirt, I don't have. Minor things also can make us jealous of each other, not that very big things. Even the small things can make us jealous of each other, because that is a matter of attitude. So, this attitude needs to be cultivated. As we see in one of the very important prayers that we recite very often, that is, Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhetamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Let us be protected together. Let us be nourished together. Let our learning manifest in our life. Let us not cavil at each other. It is this togetherness is very important. Let us not dislike or hate each other. The word together comes again and again in this prayer. Why? Because we are looking for something that is truly common in us. God is the common thing in all of us. And therefore, if we are looking at it, we have to push aside this jealousy. You have, I don't have, that will not help us to realize this spiritual truth. And therefore, Shri Krishna is hinting this to Arjuna that you can get it because, Arjuna, you have no such carping attitude in you. You are not jealous and hateful of others. So that is the idea in calling or addressing Arjuna like that. And how is this knowledge? Jnanam vijnana sahitam. You will get this knowledge along with its practical component. That is called vijnana. Not just the intellectual information, but the practical experience. Not only that you know what electricity is, but you actually get that electricity to make your life richer by that. You get so much electricity, the use of electricity everywhere. So similarly, this knowledge will be not only something theoretical, but will be an illuminating force in our life. So, jnanam vijnana sahitam. You will see this a very important and cardinal note in Vedanta everywhere, that the matter is not just to be studied intellectually, but it needs to be experienced in life. And that is why it is so scientific. It is not just thinking of theologies or matter of belief. It is not many times it is said that what is Hinduism a faith? It is not merely a faith in the sense of a belief system. Belief or faith is good to begin with, but it must culminate in experience. It is a matter of scientific inquiry, analyze, and experiment. Properly draw the deductions, go ahead with them, experimentally verify everything, and that verification will make you realize this truth and implement it in life. So, therefore, it is jnanam vijnana sahitam, the knowledge as well as the experiential component of it. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that some people have just heard about milk. Some people have seen the milk. Some people have actually drunk the milk. They have tasted the milk, drunk the milk, and thereby got the nutrition required for their body. So, some people have just heard about God and they are busy only talking about it. Some go further and see the God. Some make actual friendship with God. God is very real for them. See the example of Sri Ramakrishna, that God is not something abstract there. It is because of the constant experience. He is always moving along with him. It is he and God, so to say, has become one. There is no duality there. So, how does that happen? Through this practical experience of it. So, the element of practice is always associated there. And what happens if you get this? We will ask, well, suppose we get this, what is the utility of it? This all is very good, highest knowledge and so forth. But tell me, what do what advantage do I get it by that? Where it becomes useful? It may be somebody may tell me that, you know, I can give you the best white elephant, excellent, the best in the whole world, and for free. Will you take it? I will say, oh well, what am I going to get from that white elephant? Do you think I will go to do shopping on sitting on the white elephant here in Providence? Will be completely useless for me. I will be unnecessarily wasting my time and money and everything over that white elephant. I don't need it. It may be the best thing, but do I have any use for white elephant? I don't have neither white nor black. I don't need right now any elephant. So it is this knowledge is maybe highest, but is really going to make any difference in our life? I mean, the needed, required, sought after difference, or is going to be just another burden? Lord says, moksha se ashubhat. We all want that day, becoming free from all inauspicious and evil things in life. We all want that, and this knowledge will free us from that. This knowledge will bring that power, that medication in our life by which all evil will be gotten rid of. We will become free from all that because of this knowledge. So this knowledge has this efficacy and power for our life that we seek. So Lord further says in description of this knowledge that how is it? Second verse. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumavyayam. This is royal knowledge, the royal secret, supremely holy, directly experienced, righteous, easy to practice, and imperishable. Bhagavad Gita, as I told, is earlier our mother, and just as mother cajoles, you know, the kids and makes them do certain things. Kids may not like to do study, or the mother says, no, you do it. It is easy. You can do it. Maybe in 1 hour you do it, and then you can go for play. It is. So the mother tries to convince in various ways, using various psychological tools. So Bhagavad Gita, this morning we had, you know, a small child, and as small kids go, very difficult to make them eat properly, always running about like something, and then don't want to eat. So to make them eat is not easy for mothers to accomplish. So I saw one girl was trying to feed the child and was doing a good job with the little boy. The food stuff there, A, B, C, D, and then, hey, finish your A. Look for A, so that interest grows, you know. And then you eat your A, then eat your B, eat your C, you have to go up to G. How many are there? The A to G, you know that, is it not? So, like that, slowly, by that process of a little bit cajoling, little bit forcing, hey, if you don't do, that's enough. You can't do that anymore. That's not fun. So, saying like that, our Bhagavad Gita mother also takes us through all this process. Because we are not naturally very inclined. The problem is that as it is, the secret is right in front of us. But we may not go to do it thinking that it is too difficult, and we are so busy in other things, feel that that will go away. And if I try for freedom, then my cudgels will go away, and those cudgels we think that is a great property, you know, that it is considered as our ornaments, and if they go away, what will I do without them? So, we don't want to do that, so Bhagavad Gita has to use many nice techniques. So, here it is told, therefore, Rajavidya. It is the supreme amongst knowledges. You want to learn, is it not the best knowledge, the knowledge of all knowledges. It is this knowledge. This makes all other knowledge meaningful. Without this, other all different branches of knowledge, they will only add misery to life. It is the without accompaniment of this true wisdom, all other forms of knowledge will become only an added burden, not really of much use. As one of these, that old Sanskrit poem says, that it is like having a lot of load of sandalwood on the back of a donkey. And now the donkey knows it only as the load. It has no understanding whether it is sandalwood or any other wood or just stone or sand. A donkey has nothing to do with it. The essence of the what is put on the back of it, it has nothing to do. Only it knows the load of it. So, the knowledge that we do not really put into experiential level and do not get our life really enriched by it is only like a big load. Kharaschandana bharavahi bharasya vetta natu chandanasya. Only we understand the load, a big load in our brain, no use for it. So, therefore it is told here that this vidya makes all other vidya. Vidya means the knowledge or wisdom. This wisdom makes all other wisdoms meaningful in life. Otherwise, you know the story that three students, young people, they had the university degrees. In olden time story, they had gone to the university, and after graduation, after learning everything, they were returning back to home. Those olden days, their path returning went through a forest. And they saw as they were going that there are the bones scattered there. Then one of them said, because they had lot of learning and wanted to test and experiment with it. So, one of them said, I know, you know, these are the bones of a tiger. I can reconstruct the skeleton of tiger with these, you see. And he immediately put collected all those bones, nicely put them together, and then got the skeleton of the tiger. The second said, well, you did this, but I learned more important and valuable tricks than you know. I learned how to now put flesh and blood and life into it. I can do that. You don't brag before me that you could identify the bones and do it. I can do this. The third said, please don't do it. It is a tiger. Don't do that. He said, no, I am going to prove that I can do it. And the third said, wait first to give me about 5 minutes. Let me run away far and then whatever you want to do, you do. And now who is wise there? this fellow knew but didn't know that this tiger will just finish once it becomes alive, powerful, and this it will eat this fellow. So like that, we know many things and use it surely for our destruction. We are not very different from that fellow. Make many things and see that we are thoroughly destroyed by that. It is. So this knowledge, vidya, it makes all other learning meaningful because it points out the right way of implementing and using it. It makes it meaningful because it is the self-knowledge. All other knowledge that we talk about is the knowledge of the other things. But the real crux of it, the actual understanding of any of them depends on the knower. The knower is really involved in all this what we call known. And the known, therefore, is not really known unless you have the knowledge of the knower, the knowledge of the self. And therefore, self-knowledge is the knowledge of knowledges. So in that sense, it is the king amongst the all learnings. In that sense, it is called Raj Vidya. Raj means the king, royal. It is the royal science, royal branch of knowledge. And Raj Guhyam, most secret. It is secret, not as secret like CIA and that all that government. It is that gets out. You know, somebody like that WikiLeaks or whatever gets hold of something and it gets out. It is, but this secret is a supreme secret. It is there and not there. This knowledge is very rare because, as I told earlier, we don't look for it. So this is the great thing that you need to know. Telling secret has also another practical that utility there. When we are told that something is secret, then we start looking for it. It starts attracting us. It is the children. That is why children that game hide and seek. Why it is? It becomes popular in because if something is hidden, then you want to find it out. So by telling it secret, Lord is instigating that inspiration in us, inspiring us to look for it. By telling that it is secret, then I must find it out. I will prove that I can find it. So as soon as it is told to be secret, then let me look for it. You get an incentive, so to say, to look for it. So Rajagvidya Rajaguhyam, and Pavitram Idam Uttamam, it is the most purifier. It is the, this is the supreme purifier. Why? Because knowing that the same self is everywhere, all impurities are destroyed, all desires go away. You can see that basically desires make us impure. Desires make us covet things. And therefore, this knowledge, since it removes all that, it is the most purifier. The very little understanding of it also brings us that sense of purity. It is much more a bigger purifier, that like it is said that Shankara in his that hymn Charpat Panjarika says that, look, you may do 1,000 times that bath in Ganges. It is purifier, no doubt, you go and have the purification by taking dips in Ganges. But what kind of purification? Very momentary. Sri Ramakrishna used to describe, yes, when you know a person goes to take a dip in Ganges, all the sins that are around that person, they at that time just perch on the bushes around there. And as soon as the person comes out from the dip in Ganges, they again land on him. So it is only a temporary purification. So it is not really a big. So kurute ganga sagara gamanam vrata paripalanam athava danam. You can perform lots of austerities. Good purifier. Better than just taking a dip in Ganges. Strive to purify yourself through various austerities. But it has also its limitations. It is not a real big purifier. Or you may give the donations in charity, a very good thing. It purifies, but not to a very great extent, not to the extent as jnana vihine sarvamatena muktirna labhati janmashatena, that even if you do all these things, they are purifier, but knowledge is the real purifier. And knowledge is the purifier because it liberates you, without which even if you go on doing the other things for 100 years, janmasha, 100 lifetimes, even for 100 lifetimes you go on doing the other things, that is not going to bring liberation in your life. So this is a great thought there, that this is the most purifying element, knowledge. When we get it, that knowledge brings makes us pure. In Bhagavad Gita, we have read it earlier also, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate, that there is no purifier greater than knowledge here. And the knowledge that the same self dwells in all purifies us. See, all enmity goes away when we discover that the same self dwells in everything. Like when we know in the left hand and in the right hand, the same self dwells. Do they have any enmity? Left hand and right hand of a person have no enmity. That Saint Jnaneshwar gives an example there, that it is an incident in his life. I won't go into the details, but it is said that if you bite your own tongue, and the teeth sometime in a hurry, miscalculation makes those teeth bite our own tongue. But that doesn't make us to break our teeth. It is just a very thought is ridiculous. We don't break our teeth because they have bit the tongue. So the all idea of enmity, revenge, impurity goes away when we see the same self in everything. So this is therefore pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamam. And again that element comes. You can verify it. You don't have to just believe me, but just go and you will verify it for yourself. It is something that is verifiable by each one of us. In fact, it is meant to be verified if we want to get the benefit of it. It is, go ahead, verify it for yourself. So, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. And this is what the righteousness demands of us. We want to be righteous. We want to be following the religious truths. So this is the religious truth, righteous truth, and so follow it. It is And susukham, that is another most important thing. We always ask whether is it easy or not. Tell me an easy path. Always that is that question. What is the easy way of realizing God? The emphasis is not on realizing God that much, on easy. I want something that is easy. I don't want something difficult. Tell me something easy. I have to do lot of work, don't have much time. Give me something that is easy. Well, you really make life complicated. In many other things, do so many difficult things. But always you want it here in religion, easy. So, easy, we want to have easy path everywhere. So, easy. Lord says, this is very easy. Well, the Rishali doesn't seem to believe that it is easy. Who believes that it is easy? No one. It seems everybody thinks that Lord is kind of kidding us by telling us easy. Is it easy or is it not easy? It is really the easiest thing. It is really, but it becomes difficult because this barrier that we don't believe in it. We really don't think that it can be done. So we do not give it a try at all. If we give it a try, it is very easy. But we don't think that there is some substance in it, or it may be probably very, very tough, difficult for me. We bring out so many doubts. Every doubt starts making things more and more difficult for us. In fact, that is why we bring so many doubts. It is really very easy job. To realize God is the easiest thing. It is, other things are really very difficult. This is very easy, provided we want to do it. How easy it is for me to hold this microphone. You will say, well, it is, you are just sitting next to it, holding the microphone is so easy for you. Nothing can be easier. But suppose my face is in the other direction and I don't want to turn my face, then how difficult it is and how easy it is? Well, it is most difficult thing because I refuse to turn my face. So that is the reason that things become difficult. It is really very easy. Lord is not kidding us to do this, telling us something that is not real. It is very easy. Only we have to undertake it in the right spirit. And kartum avyayam. And what is the result? It is you get the unchangeable reality, that which does not go away. Because it appears in our mind that if it is very easy, then it might not be really worth having. If something is obtained with great difficulty, then we feel that it is worth having. And therefore, for people go to do lot of austerities because they feel that will make them really hold on to God. If it is told, just repeat the name of God. It is simple. How can God can be realized through that? Tell me something that is very difficult. That I should stand on one leg for 3 years or some such thing, then that being difficult, you know, that is. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that See, it is, I am so easily available here in Calcutta, but people won't come. They will think if somebody on the top of a hill in somewhere in Himalayas, where the going is so tough. So then, there you can find some great soul. Because it has to be in our mind, it is if something doesn't require lot of labor to get or doesn't have to be paid a big money to buy it, then it appears to be may not be that useful. So Lord says no, by this easy method, this is very easy to do, but what you get is imperishable. And all other things that we get, perishable. Only Lord is imperishable. So this is, and Lord will be now deliberating on that. And He tells in the next verse, we will not go into the details of that now, the time is almost over. So, but it says that if you don't do it, then you are bound. Don't expect happiness in life. Don't expect any true knowledge in life. You will be getting bound more and more, that's all. So, and not only in this birth, birth after birth. So, we shall look into that in the next Friday's class. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
Well, I think I'm missing something here, because you say it's so easy to find God, but Sri Ramakrishna was on the verge of suicide because he was having such a hard time.
Yeah, that's a good question. It is very easy, but for Sri Ramakrishna it is very easy to find God, because giving up the body for God also is not difficult for him. That it is because the reward is so great. What he wanted to show there, it is that what is this life without God? So that is, it is not difficult, but it is this idea that it must be somewhere deep there, somewhere far away, and maybe it may require this my life to be drastically altered. I will have to give up my job or my business, or maybe I will have to give up my life and wife and children or something like that. No, it is very simple. It is the simplest thing in life. You are right there that, look, it appeared very difficult. Yes, because we cling to this lifeless life too much. So we consider getting ready to commit a suicide as if it is very difficult. Living life is much more difficult really than committing suicide. Committing suicide is not very, it is... once, you know, it was a very nice idea that I learned. It was early days of my monastic life. And then somebody said that, well, I can give my life if what I say is not true. I can die for it. Then another Swami said, well, dying for it is easy. But living it is difficult. It is far more difficult to live life according to that ideal. It is. So therefore, the difficulty is not there. Difficulty is just getting convinced of it. Yes, John?
Everybody?
Oh, okay.
there'll be an infection will spread to other parts of the body. I'm analogizing that to yesterday when I went to the school committee meeting. The school committee is hurting a lot of members, almost 2,000 members, and their families. And, you know, and I went to bed very angry about that. But anyway, that's something I have to work out with myself. But there are, you know, that's just an example of elements of self hurting other selves, even though we're all one.
Because of the absence of this knowledge of oneness, there are ways that we can hurt each other. And sometimes they see many of these actions at the administrative and political level. Viewed from one angle, it is very bad. But if you take into consideration the reason that it is being done, it looks different. Also, the problems which need to be tackled, they also are to be taken into consideration. What happens many times is we become fanatically one-sided and do not give it a matured look. So that is why the anger wails up. The more anger wails up, the less mature is our thinking. The anger dictates it then. It doesn't solve the problem. If we can look upon it without anger, maybe we will be able to find a much better solution. The anger is not a way to solve these things. I know that issue what you are referring to, and it is certainly a very disturbing and a big problem. But just getting angry about it is not going to solve the problem. We have to see how those things, given the laws, given many administrative procedures, given the funds available, all those things come into picture. That it is true that nobody likes to relinquish the privileges that we get now, but it has its cost, and somebody has to cuff it up. So I don't mean to say that what was done is right. I mean there is another understanding of it too. Yeah. That is how in the world the things go on. You know? Because it ends up in compromise. That is how the situations in politics get resolved. First you enhance your shouting about your side. Make it up the ante, and then gradually they start compromising. And when they see that each side has to give up something, then they slowly come together. That is the way of solving the problems in this politics. It is you must have learnt in school, the law of parallelogram, law of forces. Parallelogram, law of forces. So if you want something to go, say, a force that is only, say, 5 pounds. I'm giving an example, don't take it. If you apply only 5 pounds, it won't work because there are opposite forces. So you actually have to take into consideration that. And then go that diagonal of that gives you this size. It may be 15 pounds or something. You have to go to have that force. So because it is the that is what gets followed. So it is that is the law, that it is, if you apply that, then you will get something like that. It is therefore we know that. Therefore, first we know not, that cannot be done, and then slowly we reduce the tempo and then compromise. But that besides the point. The main thought is that the feeling of oneness, the more we inculcate it, the more it becomes useful for our administration also. And what is really one? Where are we one? And we are one only in God. So the more we have that feeling, the better becomes the administration also. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistaraihi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyane Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.